Today's scripture readings is 105 of Psalms 42 to 45. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. And the other is Matthew 14, 22-33. As I read this, think about if you were on the boat and your faith in the Lord, if you were asked to walk on the water to meet Jesus. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples go into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Well, it happened again, as promised. You get three for the price of one. You're going to get three sermons today, and you only had to pay once. That's a good deal. I hope mine will be as rich as the children's story. And I hope mine will be as joyful as the songs we sang today. And I hope the message today will be as poignant as the journey that Anne has been on. We worship the Prince of Peace, and Anne shared with us about an attempt to get at world peace. And today we're going to talk about a personal peace. A travel by 12 not so smart guys who just didn't get it. And so this is another attempt for them to see the heart of Jesus. We have two helpful volunteers here. They're going to pass out one of these to each of you. And then they're going to pass out some heart charms. Take a couple heart charms. And I hope this will help you remember a little bit about the heart of God. Ladies, if you just go down the aisles, everybody take one of these little things. And what I did was bookmark. You can do what you want. You can make a necklace. You can make maybe one of these things that goes around your arm. Bracelet, thank you. Sometimes I'm at a loss for words. Thanks, Kim. Or you can just hold them and play with them, because we don't want you going to sleep here. It's the third sermon of the day, and you know we do tend to sleep a little bit on Sundays, don't we? No siestas yet, please. We've been journeying this last 2 months through our core values. It's a journey that took us from the bottom of this page, which are words, our core values, peace building, growing, serving, discovering, accepting, and today we're at believing. That's a tough one, isn't it? Believing. So let's take a shot at it. This actually is a tough scripture. I don't know what you think about miracles, but Jesus walking on the water has always been a difficult one for me. And Peter walking on the water has even been harder for me to imagine. So we're going to try and go through this a little bit today. You're going to meet two prayers, one from Psalms and one from Matthew. And you're going to meet two ways of believing about God. So walk with me. I know time is short, but this is important for us as a congregation. So permit me, could I ask permission to go after 10:30 here just a little bit? I would appreciate that. Let's try this one on for size. So believing, one of our core values. And the rhetorical question really is, do we believe? So we are going to hear two prayers of the people, and today we're going to look at two miracles in the New Testament. One of the miracles that Mary read to you is a disaster. But this is a chance in the face of disaster to test your belief in the prayers that come from the heart. First, a prayer from those called God's chosen ones. You remember in the Old Testament, believers were called the chosen ones. And this second prayer, the prayers that the disciples prayed, is called a prayer from the called out ones. Same belief, different context. Old Testament, New Testament. We believe that Christ connects those two prayers. In fact, today, we don't call ourselves the chosen ones, do we? In the 21st century, we're closer to calling ourselves the called out ones, the ones that have been called to do something different than this world. Let's go to Psalms 105. 2 weeks ago, you may recall that, it was a while ago, we read the start of Psalms 105. It was one of our core value psalms. And this now is verse 42 to 45, and it's the end of that passage. It speaks of a holy promise of God, and it's given to Abraham. Abraham was called the friend of God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus is called the Son of God. So we have two different belief systems that are coming together today. This one, Psalms 105, is a covenant or an agreement for entering the promised land. It was given to the children of God. And here's the summary. Mary read it. We'll come out rejoicing. As chosen ones, we'll shout for joy. Lands will be gifted to us. We will be given lands. But better yet, we are heirs to God's prosperity. We are heirs. There's a lesson in this prayer, by the way. It's not free. It says, it's not all about us. It says, believe and keep the precepts and the law of God. Then, and only then, do we continue to prosper. Let's think about prosperity for a minute.
Is it about wealth? Is it about riches? Is it about that nice car that you drive? Or is it that place that you live and sleep in every night? Well, no. It's really about the eternal. This prayer says it's not just enough to believe we are chosen and we are special. It says we need to believe a little bit more. It says we kind of got to change our hearts if we want to know the heart of God. Let's turn now and think about the New Testament. Jesus is reminding us all through the New Testament about a lifelong journey. And he interprets this very Psalm's prayer for us. He says, as travelers through this world, we have an inheritance. That's what it says in Psalms. But when we believe in something bigger or greater than ourselves, we inherit the kingdom of heaven. And oh, by the way, last week at conference, we were reminded we must live out the kingdom of heaven right here on earth as it is in heaven. That's the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? I think so. Let's go to the Matthew 14 passage. This gospel is written for you. It's written for us. Matthew, who happened to be a very successful middle-class person, decided he was going to write a gospel for the middle class. I think it's all of us. We are rich and we are in that middle class. Cross-reference it, if you would, this week. Check out Luke. Luke has some of the same stories Matthew does, but Luke was written not for us. It was written for those poor, those disenfranchised. I think it was written, Kim, for the people you and the kids were hanging out with yesterday. In fact, in Gospel Luke, the translation for these people is literally those crouched over. It's an interesting turn of phrase, isn't it? Those burdened with things we don't understand. Both Gospels are similar, but listen to the context in Matthew. Matthew gives an eyewitness account of two miracles. You remember the miracle of the loaves and fishes, don't you? If not, read behind. Read right before the passage that we heard today. Remember those 5,000 out in the desert listening to Jesus? They were there all day. It was hot. It was dusty. And the disciples say, Jesus, get rid of him. Tell him to go back into town and buy some food. And Jesus says, uh-uh. Time out, dudes. Well, can't you see him? He says, have a little faith. He gives them a Jesus life lesson about the unbelievable prosperity of God. 5,000 people plus are fed on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Immediately after that, later that day, we go from prosperity to disaster. Immediately after the feast, Mary read it, read it again. Jesus directs the disciples, get into a boat. Go ahead of me to the other side. Jesus blesses and dismisses the crowd alone, and the disciples have left him. Let's go to the next scene. Jesus goes up on the mountainside, again alone, to pray to the Father. It's his habit. He does it every day. We read about it constantly. Has that become part of your habit? Is that part of your belief, to pray every day? Well, at any rate, meanwhile, back on the water, disciples in a boat, night comes. They're trying to sail. It says they're sailing against the wind. If you've ever been in a sailboat and the wind's blowing in your face, you're in trouble. You're going to go the wrong way. The worst happens. Not only are the disciples separated from Jesus, but a huge storm is threatening their very lives. Waves are washing over this boat. It's wet, and the wind is blowing. It blows them off course. They're lost at sea. They're going to die. It's been hours of these horrific waves and wind. You can imagine it. At the fourth watch of the night, do we have any folks that have ever served on a boat? I don't know if you ran watch on your boat. What is the fourth watch, Dick? Late.
Between midnight and 4 in the morning.
Okay. So they've been doing this since sunset, right? It's, let's just say, 2 in the morning, okay? 2 in the morning, the fourth watch of the night, all hope is lost. Then they cry out in terror. Not because of a shipwreck. Their Redeemer is approaching. Jesus is walking to them. And what do? It's a human thing, isn't it? They deny him. They deny his existence. In fact, they fail to believe it's Jesus. They called him a ghost? It's a spook on the water, right? No. They just deny the truth. They forget to rejoice at their own salvation. So human. Fear is ruling their hearts. Jesus walks right up to them through the stormy waters. And walking on the water, Jesus sets them back on course. Literally, back on course. Salvation. But the only emotion the disciples have, what is it? What did they muster? Doubt. No. I don't believe this. I don't believe it's happening to me. They forgot to believe. Then they cry out in fear again. Jesus says something important. In fact, in this whole passage, my sermon's a little longer, sorry, 1,100 words. Jesus says 16 words. 16 words. Here's a couple of them. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. That's his sermon. But why have courage, Jesus? By the way, some translations, my translation is the same as Mary's. My translation says, take courage. The Aramaic translation says, take heart. Aramaic is the language Jesus was speaking to the people. Take heart, he says. Well, you can see the disciples. They're asking a few things. So why, Jesus? Why not fear the storms of life? And Jesus has a model for them. He says it because fear is the enemy of good. Isn't it? Jesus knows us. He knows that fear blinds good. Fear drives us to darkness and despair. The Jesus message is simple. Take heart. Take heart. It is I. Believe and don't fear. Well, Peter, you know Peter. Peter's the impulsive one, isn't he? He's this big old bulky guy, and I think he's the ADD disciple. He just does stuff. He doesn't even think about it. So here's Peter. He says, if it's you, Lord, I don't really believe you yet, tell me to come to you on the water. He's challenging Jesus a little bit, isn't he? He's kind of sticking it to him a little bit. Tell me, Jesus. Jesus has one word. Come. So, Peter being Peter, he does. He walks out on the water. seeing the wind blow, the water beating against his face in these awful torrents, he falters, kind of like us, isn't he? Seeing the wind blowing and the water just beating him, he remembers his brokenness. He remembers he's a human, right? And Peter does something that Ray reminded us. He took his eye off the ball. He looked down. And when he looked down, it was blackness. He loses his belief. He begins sinking. He's drowning in the storm. Can't you just see Jesus and the disappointment on his face? But Jesus, ever the teacher, has a gentle reprimand. You of little faith. You of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why don't you believe? Jesus then gives salvation from the storm of life to everyone. There is a happy ending to this disaster, by the way. As he climbs into the boat, the wind dies down. The seas are calm. The 12 take a deep breath. They're humbled. Calm and grace returns. Belief happens. This friend, the one sitting next to him that they call the Son of Man, sits transformed among them. Listen to their prayer. Truly, you are the Son of God. They say that prayer unanimously. Saved from drowning as Jesus climbs into the boat, they become the called out ones. Jesus, by saying 16 words, has called them out. It's a defining life moment. It's a change of heart, the very heart that you're going to hold in your little bracelet. Finally believing they can sail again. Has it ever happened to you? Have you ever had a crisis of faith? Don't believe? Well, believing is more than blind faith, my friends. Believing, Jesus said, is a journey. It comes from rereading Scripture, from dedicating ourselves to a prayer life, and from action, from doing something good, like walking in the way of Jesus. That's who we say we are, isn't it? This three-legged stool, faith, prayer, and action. Faith through Scripture, prayers, and acting, following Jesus, is the journey to the heart of God. That's it. It's the end of the message. There's not really anything else to say. Jesus said it in 16 words. So let's pray. Redeemer God, stop our busy thoughts. Stop our useless fears. You remember when our life was at risk. You were there. But I didn't believe. Why did I fear? Why do I still doubt your grace? Why can't I glimpse the saving heart of God? Why do I continue to sail alone at times on an angry sea, thinking I have the power to save myself? You're the only hope we have, loving Lord. And your presence here today reminds us of that. We have had trials. We have had pain. Our belief has been tested more than once. We have been tossed on waves more powerful than we are. Yet still, we're not humbled. Powerful dark winds blow our well-laid plans to nothing. So just now, Lord, we bow our heads and we give humble thanks for this one place, this one safe moment of worship right now. We do believe in something bigger than ourselves, Lord. We close our eyes to this temporary world, and we open our heart to the one who walks across troubled water, the one walking with us now. This glorious Master shows us the heart of God, and it is a good heart. There's no fear in the heart of hearts, no longer fear rising from black water where we would sink. May peace surround us now. Amen.